Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the max level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. When you keep an open mind, you'll come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. You'll also see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now tonight, it's my pleasure to welcome back Dr. Kevin Kida. He's a chiropractor, an author, an international speaker, a blogger, a narrator, a health and wellness expert. He's been on numerous radio and television shows, being interviewed for his book, Healing Journeys, Stories of Mind, Body, and Spirit, for chiropractic and other health-related issues. He is considered a mind-body connection expert and has thousands of fans on Facebook, 46,000 followers on Twitter, and over 5,000 connections on LinkedIn. His YouTube videos have been seen over 300,000 times. And if you want to contact him, I'll give you his email address now and we'll give it to you later. It's chirodoctor@verizon.net. And that is C-H-I-R-O-D-R at Verizon.net. Verizon is V like Victor, E-R-I-Z like zebra, O-N like Nancy, Verizon. So with that said, let me welcome Dr. Kida. Kevin, once again, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show, David.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Why don't we start off just talking about your book a little bit and reviewing some ground that we covered the last time around?
Well, the book Healing Journeys, Stories of Mind, Body, and Spirit, it came out about, the reason why I wrote the book was because there's just so many amazing stories that have happened in my office through the patients that have come in my office. And the book is based on the six different emotions that I see the most prominently. So each chapter, the book is six chapters, and each chapter is devoted to each one of these emotions. So fear, resentment, anger, criticism, self-esteem, and then forgiveness. And self-esteem and forgiveness being the, or unforgiveness being the most detrimental to your health. Forgiveness is the major one. What I've found in my office is that any person that comes in my office that has cancer or has had cancer, there's a forgiveness issue. 100% of the time. Now, that's just my findings, but then I was reading another book that was on forgiveness, and this other author found the same exact thing. And it makes, you know, David, it makes good sense because you have healthy cells in the body and cancerous cells, so there's a separation. And when somebody is not able to forgive another person, or even themselves for that matter, because that happens, you know, we're hardest on ourselves a lot of times.
Oh, yes.
You know, everybody knows that. So that's a healthy relationship and a broken relationship. So you'll have a healthy relationship with somebody, but you might not be able to forgive that person, so it's a broken relationship. And even yourself, you have a healthy relationship. Sounds funny, but you have a healthy relationship with yourself, but you can have a broken relationship with yourself because you have regrets about something in the past that you might have felt you made a poor decision on. And then in the back of each chapter are exercises to help you out with each one of these emotions. And the book itself, I mean, I've had really good endorsements. The first endorsement was through a person, Dr. John DeMartini, who is probably one of the most famous chiropractors in the world. He was in, I'm not sure if you've ever seen, or well, read the book, The Secret.
Yes.
Yeah, he was one of the experts in The Secret, and he was in the movie The
Secret. Okay, I thought the name sounded familiar.
All right, and then Bob Berg also endorsed the book. He's a best-selling author. I think it was 2012. No, yeah, about 2012. He had the best-selling book on Amazon named The Go-Giver. I'm not sure if you ever heard of that book, The Go-Giver, but The Go-Giver is a really good book. It's about business-related relationships, but it really pertains to your life too, his book, and he gave me a really good endorsement. And then Jeff Olson is the CEO of a company, Nerium. I'm not sure if you ever heard of Nerium, but Nerium is a international skincare product company. And Jeff Olson,
no, I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah, and Jeff Olson also wrote this book called The Slight Edge, which was a best-selling book. So he really liked healing journey stories of mind, body, and spirit, like Dr. John DeMartini and Bob Berg. Jeff Olson's book, The Slight Edge, is a really good book. And Bob Berg is actually coming out, I guess, yeah, tomorrow, I think, The Go-Giver Leadership book. And knowing his writing skills, it should be another really good book. So that's kind of how the long and short of the book. And the last time I saw you, or last time I was talking to you, the one thing about healing journeys, stories of mind, body, and spirit, there's also an audio book that came out 2 months ago. And for the listeners out there, most books are never put on audio because of the costs. But I was lucky enough for Healing Journeys to be recorded as an audiobook. I think it's only about 10% of the books published are on audio, which is you know, hardly any of the books. That's why you might go to one of the big stores, Barnes & Noble, or even, you know, go to online on Amazon, and a lot of these books are not in audio form. And a lot of people like to listen to their books on audio because everybody commutes a certain distance, so that's how they get their reading in.
Right, right. Well, where's the best place for people to get your book? Audio or print version? Or Kindle?
Print version, well, all of them. On Amazon. Amazon, you can pick up the physical book, the e-book, and now the audio book. And the audio book, like I was, you know, talking to you before, came about through this one person, Scott Evans, who read my book, and he happens to have his own recording studio, Life Deck Studio. And I happened to ask him, I said, would you be interested in helping me record Healing Journeys, Stories of Mind, Body, and Spirit? And he said, sure. And then I asked him, David, I asked him, I go, you know, how much do you want for, you know, how much is it going to cost me? Because studio time, as most people know, is very, very expensive. And Scott liked the book that much. He goes, I love your book, Kevin, and he said, I'll do it for free. And I almost fell down. I almost fell on the floor.
Not bad.
I mean, because that was, you know, that's thousands of dollars. And one of the funny things too, one of the funny things about recording the book is I didn't realize that not only is he has his own studio and he's an audio engineer, but he's also a professional voiceover coach. So he really helped me narrate the book in a very natural way. And the other thing about the book that was kind of funny, a couple times we were recording and I was narrating the book, and it must have been about 3 or 4 times, he goes, "Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot to start recording." Because he was reading the book, and we were at a section in the book that he loved, and he goes, "Oh my God, I love this book." He goes, and he was like, he stopped the recording. He forgot to press the record button a couple times because he was at a certain part of the book that he liked a lot. So that was kind of funny.
Well, let's start out talking about the importance of awareness, because I'm sure in terms of all of those 6 areas that you mentioned, it's very important to be aware of what's going on internally in order to get in touch with your emotions and all of those areas that need healing.
Right. The thing about awareness, a lot of people will live their life unconscious of what's going on, and they're really not aware of how things can affect other things. So, for instance, when in my book, the chapter on forgiveness, I make it a point myself every night to say to myself, "I forgive anybody that's did any bad thoughts, deeds, or actions toward me. And I forgive myself for maybe hurting anybody with thoughts, deeds, or actions that it might have hurt somebody else." And the reason why I do it every night is so that these things don't build up. So there's that awareness. So you're consciously doing that so these things don't build up, where it's like a little snowball. And then if you don't do these exercises, it becomes this big boulder, and it's very hard to then break that up. So that most people, a lot of people just are not aware that these things can affect their health, their well-being, and even the people around them for that matter, because when you're sick or you have some sort of disease, it's not you that is affected by it. It's also your friends or family around you that are affected by that.
Right.
But if you're aware, like you're saying, about these negative emotions, it should never really pop up. Or if something does happen, if you, for instance, fear, resentment, criticism, unforgiveness, or self-esteem, if one of these things happens, you're aware of it and you know you should dissipate it before it gets up to a higher level where it becomes much worse. So awareness is a major thing, a major factor, because people, I'm glad you brought it up, because people will come in my office, David, and I'll pick out some emotional upset and they're like shocked. And then later they'll say to me, they go, "Dr. Keaty, are you picking up any other emotional upsets?" Because these people think they're upset about something. And I go, "No." And I said, "That's actually a good thing, because that means you're aware that certain people are affecting you or certain issues are affecting you, and you're able to better let these things go." So, yeah.
Well, that's a real challenge, that forgiveness part. If something is really bothering you and you formed a resentment, Isn't there a process involved in that?
Well, forgiveness, people that I see, especially when it's somebody else, somebody's, you know, done something wrong to them, they feel like if they forgive, they condone the other person's action. Because most people will say, you know, I can't forget what that person did to me. And I constantly tell people, it's not, I didn't say forget, I said forgive.
Right.
Because
right.
You don't want the same person doing the same thing over to you or some other person that might enter your life. So you don't want to forget that. You want to learn from that lesson, but you don't want to hold that hurt, because all that is doing is hurting yourself. You know, it's like someone once said, taking the poison and hoping the other person would die. You know, you're just hurting yourself. You're just
right.
Hurting yourself. And as long as you hold on to that, the longer that resentment, that the guilt, it will eventually affect your health. I mean, I've seen it so many times. It's unbelievable. I've gone to people on there where they get sick, people that aren't even my patients, but friends or friends of friends, and I go to the hospital, and there's a forgiveness issue. There's some sort of separation, which I, you know, said in the beginning. There's a, you know, healthy cells, cancerous cells, healthy relationship, broken relationship, and that's what sickness is. Sickness is separation. And healing comes from the word halen, the Greek word halen, which means whole. So when we're healed or healing, we're coming back to whole, or we're whole. And that's the way we're supposed to be. We were meant to be whole. We weren't meant. It's our egos that make us separate from our, you know, our whole holiness, or our whole, WHOLINESS. And you know, you keep building that up and holding on to that, unforgiveness to the other person or even yourself, because that's happened a lot of times too. I've seen it where somebody, especially when, I'm not sure if you've ever had this experience, but David, but when somebody in your family or somebody close to you is very, very sick with a serious illness and they're older, a lot, when they pass away, I've seen these people in my office where they look back, you know, hindsight's 20/20, and they feel like they should have been able to do more for their mother or their father or brother or sister or friend, and they can't forgive them. They can't forgive themselves over, you know, some of the decisions they made. They, you know, they feel like they should have did this thing different or that thing different. But at that time, when a person's sick, that's the only, you know, that's the perfect thing to do at that time. That was the decision. You can't go back and change that. And you have to forgive yourself over that.
Well, I think that's an important point. And underscores the fact that we need to be gentle with ourselves and to recognize that with whatever we've been given, that we always do the best we can. That's not to say that we couldn't do a better job the next time around, but when we're in the midst of a situation with whatever life has dealt us already and whatever we know at that given point in time, we operate from those parameters. And so I think it's so important to practice gentleness with yourself. And when you get into that place where you beat yourself up, then that's where self-forgiveness is so important.
Yeah, I totally agree with what you just said. That's exactly right. I mean, our own worst critics are ourselves. I mean, a lot of people will think that it's other people, but really it's ourselves. We always have this self-criticism, self-judgment over almost anything you do in your life. And we, just like you said, we need to learn how to be very gentle with ourselves and just let things go and not hold ourselves up to, you know, up to such high standards. I mean, people, you know, we think we can always do better and better and better, but at this certain situation, we only have certain tools. And, you know, we can learn from the past so we don't, you know, we can use the tools better.
Well, we've talked about the impact of negative emotions on health and how important it is to remain aware. I'd like to explore a couple of things. One is, what are some of the tools that we can use to practice awareness or consciousness? And then how can we shift from negativity into a more positive way of being and experiencing?
I think the best way of becoming more aware and more conscious is setting part of your day, usually in the morning, sit quietly. If you know how to meditate, sit quietly and really just focus on your breathing, and you will become more conscious and you'll be much more relaxed. And when any stressful situation comes about, you won't feel so stressed out over this situation. That's what I do every morning, is I'll meditate for about 15 minutes, 20 minutes, and just sit quietly. I think that's one of the biggest problems with our society now. Everybody is constantly, you know, around noise. They're watching TV. They're, you know, everybody seems to be so busy. Everybody's on their phone, but nobody is sitting quietly any part of the day and just focused on relaxing for just, like I said, 15 to 20 minutes. And that then brings awareness to all the things, all the surroundings and everything that's going to happen further in the day. And I forget what the second part was.
Well, I guess it's a matter of shifting your perspective so that you, when you become aware that you've slid into negativity, that you can move into a more positive direction. You know, it's, I guess you would say, the art of allowing positive emotions to become your reality instead of getting mired down in things that are toxic.
Right. What I tell people, that the patients that come in our office, is I always tell them, and even myself for that matter, always watch or always listen to what you're saying. So anytime you say I blank, you know, for instance, if I say I am tired, guess what happens? I'm tired all the time. But if you say I'm always full of energy, believe it or not, just saying that little sentence, I'm always full of energy, you become more energetic. If I say I'm always healthy, guess what? Most part, I mean, these are the affirmations I say to myself. I'm always healthy. For the most part, I've been very healthy. Last time I was sick was 1988. Just by having this, just like you said, switching the negative to the positive. So every time you hear yourself say, I, you know, whatever, blank, I am this, I am that, make sure what follows that is a positive affirmation. Yeah. Because there's times where people come in my office and they'll say, oh, I hope I don't get sick or something like that, and I always ask them to repeat what they just said. And they go, well, I hope I don't get sick. And I go, well, if you hope you don't get sick, you just said you're probably going to get sick. And the other part of the negative, switching the negative to the positive, is you have to be aware of that. And and these things don't happen overnight. You always have to listen to what you're saying. And I'm just like anybody else. You'll slip, and you'll say a negative emotion, a negative thing, affirmation. And then, at least at this point of doing this, then I check myself and go, okay, I need to stop. I need to back that up and then change the wording, so I don't keep saying that over and over again.
Yeah. How can somebody make a positive affirmation about their health if they are really sick? How would you frame that?
I'm getting healthier. The other thing is there was actually somebody that's sick somebody that is actually having something, a sickness or disease. They did a study. I'm not sure if you ever heard of this study, but they had a group of professional prayers. And what they did was they were trying to change the DNA in a little Petri dish. So they had these group of people praying that they changed the DNA. And they did that, and then the researchers checked what was in the Petri dish, and the DNA had not changed. Then they had the group of prayers visualize the DNA changing in the Petri dish.
Mm.
So the researchers then checked the DNA, and there was no change. Then the fascinating thing is they had these group of prayers, and they had them say, I am so grateful for the DNA changing. So then the researchers checked the DNA, and the DNA had changed. So what does that mean in our life? That means I am grateful for being healthy. So for somebody that's sick, they can say, I am so grateful for being healthy, like it's happened already. And I've seen it with some people where they might have a skin issue, and I say, just say to yourself, I'm so grateful that my skin is nice and clear and smooth. And miraculously, it changes. I don't know how it works, but it changes. So that's one thing you can do. And then the other is, always say, I'm getting healthier. For instance, if you work out, if you exercise, I'm constantly, I'm losing weight, or I'm getting fitter every day. It's a process. It's not like overnight. It's not an overnight happening. So I think those are the things you can do if somebody is sick.
Well, I think that gratitude piece sounded really key. I have found that is an imperative element in me maintaining a positive framework within my own life. If I can be mindful of the blessings that I have each step of the way, then I'm not as likely to fall into negativity and those things that can put me at dis-ease within myself or attract things, people, places, or things that disrupt my serenity or my joy.
Yeah, gratitude is so powerful. I mean, I use it every day in my life. In the morning, I'll say 5 gratitudes before I get out of bed, and it might be, and they can be simple things, you know. Thank God I have a bed. Thank God I have blankets to keep me warm. Thank God I have a roof over my head, you know, things like that. You know, thank God I have a car to drive.
Right. And, well, I think it's important to focus on the simple things. There's some people that don't seem to have a lot to be grateful for, but we all do. I mean, just to have breath in your body and to be alive. I once asked an urban mystic minister what the most important prayer she could say was, and she said simply, thank you. And I thought that was really apropos.
Yeah, it's very, very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the other thing is like you're saying, even the simple things, and you keep having this attitude of gratitude, the more you're grateful, the more you will have to be grateful for. There'll be more things coming your way. You'll be receiving so much more.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that, the power of attracting through positive thinking. And again, I mean, that comes down to awareness of staying the course and remaining positive and actually being able to manifest those things that you desire.
Right. Well, the law of attraction, I think it goes back to what I was kind of saying about quieting your mind. Most people don't sit down and actually write down what they really want specifically. If you want to attract something, you have to write it down in a very specific and concise manner. And if it's a very general thing, you're probably not going to attract it. The other thing is, it's not just writing it down on a piece of paper either. You also have to act on it. It's not like you can say, you know, I want to attract a mansion or something like that. It's just not going to happen that way. You need to go do something that is going to get you, you know, the bigger house or the fancier car. It's just not going to all of a sudden show up at your front door. Because in the movie The Secret, one of the biggest missing parts of The Secret was they really didn't show them in action trying to attract these things. But part of the law of attraction is being grateful. Everybody will say that because the more, like I said before, the more you're grateful, then the more you'll be grateful for, because there's more and more things that will be coming that you'll be receiving. And the other thing.
Well, as you were talking, I was thinking of the old adage that God helps those who help themselves. Action is so important. Because we can't just sit back and expect things to happen. It's one thing to remain positive, but it's mind, body, and spirit, and we have to put it all to work in order for us to attract what we may be seeking.
Right. You know, and it's also, actually, I was talking about the book, The Go-Giver by Bob Berg. You know, we also have to give. We can't also just receive. You know, you really need to start by giving, you know, giving, even giving the intention out or giving something to some other person, because giving and receiving is really not any different. For instance, like a good example is, I'll tell somebody, I'll say, okay, what I want you to do is take a deep breath in and then exhale. And as you exhale, just hold your breath. And they'll hold their breath and they go. And then finally, they'll have to inhale. So when you exhale, you're giving. When you're inhaling, you're receiving. You can't do one without the other.
I think that's a really important point. I mean, this is a dynamic universe that we live in, and it's not about just ourselves. We're in it together. And the beautiful thing about giving is that it does seem to draw more toward you as a result. But the joy in giving for me is the joy that I receive, and that's a gift in and of itself.
Yeah, that's totally true. I totally agree with what you just said. I mean, when you give, and the other thing is I think a lot of people feel like we have these limited resources, but we really actually have unlimited resources, because when I'm talking about giving, I'm not necessarily saying, you know, we're going to go down the street and start giving everybody $100 bills. What I really mean is you can give love to every person you meet. You can give love.
Absolutely.
And passion. And what's that worth? That's priceless. You know, you can give so many things. You can talk to people that are housebound or somebody that's not feeling well. I mean, that's priceless. These things, you know, it doesn't have to be a materialistic thing. You know, you can give.
Well,
your
the
time.
Greatest gifts that you can give are the gifts of self. I mean, the things that you're just talking about. Something as simple as giving somebody a smile or saying an encouraging word to somebody that's feeling down, just giving your time to somebody else. I mean, there's that expression, time is money, and I hate to equate it in terms of dollars and cents, but time is precious because we only have so much time, and that's a beautiful thing to be able to give to somebody else.
Right, that's the one thing you can't buy is time.
Or the gift of listening to somebody. I mean, to give your wholehearted attention to another person if they have something on their mind. I mean, that's a beautiful gift that you can give. You know, it doesn't involve money.
Right. Yeah, and that's limitless. I mean, how much love do you have inside you? You have a lot. Yeah, you have a lot that you can give. Because when some people that are depressed that come in my office, said you need to be grateful for what you have, and you know, and give, and they go, well, I wish I could give, and I go, I'm not talking about, you know, because whatever, they have financial difficulty. I didn't say like give money. I mean, you can give love to every person you meet. It doesn't even have, you know. The clerk at the store that, you know, you're buying something from, anybody you meet, the gas station attendant, you know, that's giving.
Well, I think the example that you just spoke of involving a person that's depressed, that's wonderful, a wonderful suggestion, because the best way to get out of yourself is to involve yourself in life and in other people, and thereby leave your own troubles behind, at least for a while.
Right. And depression, what I know about depression is inward anger. So you're angry at yourself, and that's what makes you sad. The other thing is, what I found is that people that are depressed, they feel paralyzed. They might have lost their job, or they're in a certain part of their life where they feel they're stuck and they don't really know what their next step is, and that makes them depressed.
Well, that just speaks to me of people attaching themselves to outer conditions whereby they look to those outside conditions like the job or even their health, something as basic as their health, money, relationships, careers, to have those things present in their lives in order to be happy, whereas that happiness can really only come from within.
Right. Nobody else is going to make you happy. You're the only one that can make you happy. It's your responsibility. And it's just like anything else. You can't blame other people for where you're at, because once you do that, you're going to be stuck where you're at. I'm sure you've seen people saying, oh, I would do better, but so-and-so did this to me. it's blaming everybody else and not looking at yourself inward, like what did you do?
Yeah, that's such an important part of the equation. And, I want to just underscore what you were saying about taking responsibility. We are responsible for our lives and for our very destinies. And, it comes back to things as simple as being grateful and taking action and getting out of ourselves and moving forward.
Right. To be able to respond means you're alive. It's spawned. Spawned means life. So you're giving yourself. You're really giving yourself responsibility is able to respond or able to live, able to give yourself really a new life.
Well, that speaks to me of the importance of being present and letting go of the past and just allowing the future to unfold through whatever affirmative steps that we take along the way. What would you say about that?
No, I totally agree with that. That's the affirmative. Everything is in steps. It's not this overnight or quantum leap of being either, seriously ill, and then the next day you're totally healthy. It doesn't happen that way. If it happened that way, it seems like it would be great if it happened that way, but actually it wouldn't be that good, because think about it. If it happened that quickly, it's kind of like a light switch. So if your body was like a light, if there was a light switch from sickness to health literally that quickly, then it would work the opposite way, going from being very healthy to being very sick just by a flick of a switch. That's why everything is a process, and look for progression. Always look for progression going in a positive way. Because I think that's where people get into this negativity, because they feel like, oh my gosh, it just didn't happen already. Well, things take time. You don't go.
They do. And we're not going to get it perfect either. I mean, I like the expression progress, not perfection. You were talking about progress.
Right.
It involves taking those baby steps forward as we move on our life's journeys. We're all on a journey, hopefully to a better place. I think it's so important to practice gentleness and to be aware of what our needs are and be grateful when they're met. You know, I think anybody, if they reflect back on their lives, even if they look at those times that seem so dark, they'll recognize that they prevailed, and that something, somehow, some power greater than themselves brought them through that. And, you know, sometimes it's something as simple as perseverance or faith. But we all are survivors, and I think that, or I believe, the goal is not just to survive, but to become a thriver.
Right.
And I think attitude plays such an important part in that. Don't you agree?
I couldn't agree more. I think, a lot of people think, oh, surviving is, you know, that's fine. But we're supposed to be thriving individuals. We're not supposed to be just kind of like, okay, I made it through this day. Hopefully I make it through tomorrow. You know what I mean? So, you know, and it's like what you're saying before, you take these affirmative steps, you should be looking to improve yourself every day in a little way, whether, you know, body, mind, and spirit, whether it's physically, mentally, or spiritually. You know, tiny little steps add up to making a huge difference.
Well, we're all subject to change, and we have the ultimate responsibility in terms of changing ourselves and charting our course. And, you know, again, we come back to that law of attraction. What we put out is what we receive at many different levels.
Right. If you put out negativity, I guarantee you that's what you're going to get back. If you put out positive, if you're in a positive frame of mind, that's what you're going to get back. That's why it is so important to always watch and listen to what you're saying to yourself or even other people. I'm sure you've seen it go, I can't believe this always happens to me, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess why it happens to you? Because you just say, this always happens to me.
Right.
You keep saying that. It will always happen to you. It's not by
mistake. Let's talk about breaking free of that victim cycle, because that's what that is, you know, when you say this is, it's that fulfilling prophecy of gloom and doom. And a lot of people get stuck there, and they say, you know, when is my life going to get better? I'm poor. I've always been poor. You know, things like that. Or why do I keep getting involved in the same kinds of awful relationships? I mean, the answer is pretty simple, but. What are the steps that people can take to break free of that kind of bondage to self?
Well, like I said before, change the, you know, instead of saying I'm poor, I'm always full of abundance. I'm always more than provided for. And, you know, if you constantly repeat the same relationships, you have to then kind of sit down and say, okay, what kind of relationship do I want to be in with somebody? And that will help you attract that, the specific person. Whether it doesn't even have to be a person, you know, it could be a business relationship or something like that. Important thing is, like what you're saying, you know, I'm always poor. Stop taking ownership of these things, because I've had people come in my office and they have some people come in and they're crippled with sciatica. And for people listening to this, sciatica is like very painful low back and leg pain where you can be hospitalized for it. And I've had people come in and I help them out. And they go, wow, my gosh, I can't believe it. I can walk now. And then they say to me, oh, gosh, Dr. Keita, do you think my sciatica will come back again? And I go, what did you just say? And they said, my sciatica. And I go, well, it'll come back because you just took ownership of it. How much does that cost per month? Because is that the same amount as your cable bill or your phone bill? Because you're kind of like taking ownership of that. And they go, yeah, you're right. And that's kind of what you were saying before. If I always say, oh, I'm always poor, you're taking ownership of that. So watch what you
It's a negative affirmation,
right.
If there is such a thing.
Well, there definitely is. I mean, I've had to call out some of my friends on that. It's interesting. And just by doing a little tweak on what they're saying, it's amazing. They go, oh my gosh, after I start saying, you know, I'm always happy, guess what? I'm always happy, you know, all these happy things start happening to me. It's not by mistake.
No, words are powerful, and it all starts with the thought, and that brings us back to the importance of remaining aware of what it is that we are thinking, because so many of our thoughts are unconscious. And so it's so important, I believe, to train ourselves to monitor what's going through our mind, and then watch what we have to say, not just to ourselves, but to other people as well.
Right. Even the inner thoughts you have. You know, you might say, "Oh, I'm not good enough for such and such." Well, if you feel that way, you're never going to be good enough. It's, you know, I'm not good at public speaking or something like that. Well, guess what? You're going to fulfill that prophecy in your mind. These are such simple. Well, that's the whole thing. These things are so simple, David, that most people think that it's not going to change anything. But these simple things are so powerful. They can literally change your life in such a positive way that you wouldn't even be able to recognize yourself.
Well, earlier you were talking about the ego and the problems that can create for ourselves, and the ego does tend to complicate things. We think too much, and we need to think with our hearts and think about positive things, which always are very simple and practical.
Yeah, our ego, a lot of people don't realize our ego just constantly gets in our way. The ego, well, you know, back to what we were saying before, you know, the self-criticism we have, the unforgiveness is really a lot to do with the ego. The self-criticism, self-judgment, you know, a lot of, you know, you probably heard somebody say, well, I really don't deserve that. You know, that person is just so much better than me, or I could never be somebody like, you know, that. And, well, you're putting yourself down, and it's the ego trying to block you from showing your gifts or showing your light. And
well, that's an
important
point. Yeah, because we're all unique. It's such a mistake to compare ourselves with others because we have our own individual gifts. And, you know, it just is so important to focus on what it is that you have to give to the world and to give to yourself instead of looking at other people and then comparing yourself to them.
Right. I try and tell this to some of the patients that come in my office because that, you know, people get depressed and they go, well, I'm not like my neighbor Joe. He's so successful. He does this, this, and this. And I go, well, if you try and do the same thing he does, you're never going to be him because it's impossible. You're two totally different people. And that's kind of one of the things I will say to people, competition is a myth because we're not competing against somebody else. What we need to do is we need to create our own individual gifts that we all have. And if we do that, if we create our own gifts, especially out of love, there's amazing things that can happen.
That's very true. Well, we're getting toward the end of the hour. Is there anything else that you want to reflect on that we've talked about tonight?
As always, just a great conversation with you, David. I mean, it's...
Oh, well, it's been a pleasure.
We always have these pretty amazing discussions, I think. And for anybody that didn't pick up my book, Healing Journey, Stories of Mind, Body, and Spirit, like I said, you can get on Amazon in the physical book form, the Kindle book or e-book form, and the audio form. And there's a lot of people that have bought the audio book because of their commutes, and a lot of people tell me that they wanted my book in audio form because that's just the way they read because they're too busy.
Do you have a website?
Yes, my website is www.drkevinkita.com. That's drkevinkita.com.
And again, his email address is chirodr@verizon.net. That's chirodr@verizon.net. Well, Kevin, thank you very much for joining me tonight. It's been a pleasure to have you.
It's been my pleasure. It's really nice talking to you again, David. Thanks for
having
me on the show.
You're welcome. So once again, we come to a close. Now we can pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who can and will have a spiritual experience if we let it be. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize. Good night, Kevin.
Good night.